Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from Deuteronomy 4, 21 through 31. So that's Deuteronomy 4, 21 to 31. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me because of you, and he swore that I should not cross the Jordan and that I should not enter the good land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. For I must die in this land. I must not go over the Jordan, but you shall go over and take possession of that good land. Take care lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make a carved image, the form of anything that the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you father children and children's children, and have grown old in the land, if you act corruptly by making a carved image in the form of anything, and by doing what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, so as to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will soon utterly perish from the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. You will not live long in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods of wood and stone, the work of human hands that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you, in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not leave you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. Let us have a word of prayer. Father, dear Lord, we are so thankful and blessful just to be able to gather here and to be able to learn from you and to learn from your words, and always knowing that as Christians in our hearts that you're always there for us 24/7. You're always available for us through the good times and through the tough times. So we are truly blessed that you are our best friend. In your name I pray. Amen.
Have you ever heard someone say, "What is God when you need him? What is God when you need him?" Well, actually, God is always there. And God is always available to people. The problem is we are not available to others. We're not even available to God, let alone available to others. Wives complain that their husbands are not home, they're not available. Husbands complain that their wives are not available. Kids complain that their parents are not available. We always complain about things that are not available to us. And yet God is, I believe, the only person that is always available, regardless of what you believe, or what your theology, or even if you don't believe in God at all, God is available to you. Why? Because God has created each one of us. And as a mother or father will always watch, most of the mothers and fathers watch over their kids, where they go, what they do, how to protect them. God, our Holy God, our Creator, does the same thing. That is why when God heard the cry of the Jewish nation, who cried out to God, and God said to Moses, "Go and tell them this. Go and tell them that I've heard your cry. I've seen your suffering. And the time now has come for you to repent and I will give you the promised land. He promised that. And yet, we'll see that things happen. The Israelites had wandered in the desert for 40 years. 40 long years. It should have taken them about 40 days. And because of unbelief, that entire generation except two men would never make it to the promised land. They would die in the desert because they had doubted God. And now a new generation of Israelites were getting ready to enter the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 35 we read, "Not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your forefathers." Why? Because they sin. They turn their backs to God. Moses knows that he will not, and I quote Deuteronomy 4:21, he knows that he will not cross the Jordan and enter the promised land. And he explains in Deuteronomy 1:37 why. "Because of you, the Lord became angry with me also and said, you shall not enter it either." God was angry with Moses when in a wrong spirit, he struck the rock at Meribah to get water out of it. And since it was the Israelites who had made him to sin, God was angry with them too. Very often, our sin affects others too. I don't think that when we sin, we only sin against God. We sin more often than not. We sin against our fellow man. We sin against our wife. We sin against our children. We sin against our husband. We sin against our parents. We sin against, we break the law. So when you sin, you always must remember that you affect others too. Now, is this a condemnation? No. What I'm saying is that God has made it possible for us to enjoy His presence, which is always there. And yet, if that is a blessing, the other side of that coin is because God is always available, obviously, He has to be with us. And because He's always available, He's always there. And when He's always there, think about it. When you sin, when I sin, He's there. When I break His law, He's there, available to help me. But also, He knows why I did not take the Bible to read. He knows why I did not pray. He knows why I did not go to church. He knows why I did not call my friend who is sick. He's always available. That's true. You can get the problem is not that how to get rid of God, because you can never get rid of God. The problem is that God is always there. So the problem is not that we can't find God. The problem is that He is always there, always available. But Moses prepares them for the future, his fellow Israelites. Looking back at blessings, but also at the time God had corrected and punished them, Moses reminds them of the past. You know, the past is gone. Today is very short. Tomorrow is not ours. And yet we look back in the past and we learn from our mistakes. I don't know how many of you, but looking back, I don't really like some of the things that I see in my past. And yet, I hope and pray that I have learned enough lessons from the past not to repeat them again. And that is why Moses is instructing the new generation now. That is why we must instruct our children and our grandchildren and our young ones not to repeat the same mistakes as we did in the past. And Moses is doing just that. Moses also reminds them and restates the fundamentals of faith. And now he prepares them for their new life ahead. The new life ahead. We always talk about in our church, in many evangelical churches, being born again, being saved, being reformed, being transformed. And all that means is, or what that means actually, is that now we have a new life to live. And there are instructions being given to us by God, as Moses gave instructions to the Israelites before they were about to enter the promised land. He tells them that God is always available in good times and in times of trouble. He tells them that God is always available to those who seek Him. And in verse 29 we read, "Seek the Lord your God and you will find Him." You know, there are those who may misunderstand the Word of God and say, "Well, God has found me. I was worthy, has found me and set me apart, and I'm now so privileged." Well, the truth of the matter is God is calling everyone. God loves every human being. That is why Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," to Cosmo. Cosmos is people, not the earth, "that He gave His one and only begotten Son." To monogeni means in Greek the only born son. Why? "For whosoever," everyone, again, I'm not showing off my Greek, but it's very important to look at that word. Pas opistevon means anyone who believes. That's what God did. And this verse says this. Says, "Seek the Lord, your God, and you'll find Him." In Amos 5:6, we read, "Seek the Lord and live." Can you imagine? Amos says, "Seek the Lord and live." If you don't seek the God, if you don't find God, you will not live. And what it means is spiritually, you'll remain dead. In Psalm 145, verse 18, we read, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him." Please, isn't this clear enough for everyone to understand that the Lord is near to all who call on Him? In other words, God is always available. This is the real good news, and it means there is hope for everyone. If not, if God only had chosen the Greeks, the rest of the world would have been lost. If God had only chosen the Jews, the rest of the world would be lost. If God only had chosen the white, everyone else would be lost. If God had chosen only the yellow or the black or the red, but God has invited every human being on this earth to participate in His kingdom. And people make fun of God. People make fun of Jesus. People will sort of just joke about our faith. And they are blind. The devil has blinded them to the point where they don't see God. They don't see the earth. They don't see His creation. They don't see the sun and the moon. And they don't see the air that they breathe. Someone controls, has created something that is so perfect. The thermostat, the air that we breathe. We want to destroy everything, yes. And yet God is loving enough to give us one more chance every time we take a breath. God is always available. Apostle Paul, writing to the believers in Rome, said, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The only hope I believe today that I have is to be in the presence of God. Here on this earth, and then after death, in His presence in heaven. The politicians give us no hope. The students give us no hope. The army gives us no hope. The business world gives us no hope. The only hope is the only hope comes from God, and the serenity and the peace we enjoy when we connect to God and remain with God, no money can pay or buy. God is always available. His phone is never off the hook or busy. When my wife is about to call an office, Bell Canada or whatever, she says, oh no, I'm going to waste now 2 hours on the phone. And she sort of is ready now. She sits down, she puts there, and she maybe has a glass of water to wait for a human being to respond. You know, with God, Yaroslav, you just think about God and He is right there. You can see it with your spiritual eyes. People who don't believe in God, there is about an accident to take place. And you know what they say? Oh my God! Oh, what happened? They remember there is a God. There is a God. Why? If they don't believe in God at work, if they don't believe in God at home, if they don't believe in God in their dealings, if they don't believe in God, why would they call upon God to save them? God is always available. His phone is never off the hook or busy. Have you ever tried to reach someone whose line was always busy? Or wanted to have a conversation with someone who clearly did not have time for you? It can be very discouraging and even frustrating. When you call someone and you want to sort of have a little conversation, and the person says yes, and you want to say something, says yes, and all of a sudden you realize you bothering that person. Doesn't want to give you any second of his time. But with God, it's not like that. Sometimes we ask people to, when they come up to pray, or let's make it short so others have an opportunity. It sounds terrible because God has all the time and eternity, and yet, we don't. So, when you pray at home, before you go to bed, God is always there to hear your prayers. But God is always available to listen, to guide, to comfort, to help you at any time. Jesus demonstrated this God's availability in His ministry, actually. He was available to the religious and non-religious people. Jesus was not only available at the temple. Jesus was not only available when a group of people were talking religious stuff. Jesus was not only available to the disciples, but Jesus was available to others. He was available to the uneducated and educated. He was available to the children and old people. He was available to the sick and the lepers. He was available to the poor and to the rich. He was available to the sinners and the thief on the cross. Jesus is available to you too. The problem is not that God is not available. The problem is that you are not available. I'm not available. The problem is not that God is not willing to help. The problem is that we don't want to give our time to help, to be used by God. And so we have now schedules. Okay, in the morning I have to get up, make my coffee first. Coffee is very important. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, we talked about priorities. Priorities. We even have forgotten what it means, priority? What is priority? My priority is to get up in the morning, make a cup of coffee, read my paper, and then start arguing with... maybe you start arguing with your wife or husband or children. I don't know if that is a priority, but we... I have to go to school, I have to work, I have to go for dancing classes, I have to go for my hockey game. I have all these. And I've heard people say, well, God actually and the church or spiritual things are not the first priority in my life. And you know, think about it. If God is always available to you, and if you don't believe that, then why do you pray anytime you feel like it? First, you got to ask Him, are you available, God? Can I have an appointment, God? No, you take Him for granted. You take it for granted that God is always available to you for your gossiping with God, for your complaints to God, for your blessings and for your instructions, how to give you what you want and what color it should be. We do that. And yet, if we want God to be always available to us and to answer our prayers, why is it that we are rarely available to God? I don't know. Every one of us has to answer these. Jesus is available to you too. God is available to those who seek Him with their hearts. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul. From there, it says. But from there, wherever you are, where are you? You are right up there on the pedestal. You are the big shot in your company. You are the best teacher. You are the best technician. Everybody respects you, but you need God. You may be down there in the gutter, and where you are, He says, call me and I'll answer. A man found himself in the belly of a fish, and he for sure knew he was dying. The acid was going to be eating him up. And you know what he did? He lifted his eyes. I don't know why, whether he lifted his eyes or he had his eyes shut. And yet, in his spiritual eyes looked up to God. And he prayed. Whatever you are. And I know we are confused. Some people are very confused with doctrines, man-made doctrines. But the Bible is very clear when it says, but if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find Him. It doesn't say God is searching to find you and you're hiding. It says that too. But in this particular place it says, if where you are, you look for Him, you'll find Him. So there's something we gotta do. And I've heard this, that there's nothing you can do. God doesn't want you to do anything. Just like that, God is going to find you, save you, and give you the eternal life, and then you are great. It doesn't say that. All the children of Israel who were chosen to go to the promised land, none of them except two made it to the promised land. And I'm not talking about spiritual heaven and things. To the promised land. Once again, but if from there, wherever you are right now, you seek the Lord, your God, you will find Him if you look for Him with all your heart and with all your soul. In Jeremiah 29, verses 13 and 14, we read, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Those who seek God will be blessed and be filled with all His blessings. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Actually, God is always near you. That is the good news. But on the other hand, because He is always near you, how can you ignore Him? And how can you reject Him? And how can you put yourself ahead of His will? When the seeking God meets a seeking person, something awesome, an explosion can happen. The result will be salvation, hope, and eternal life. Please remember that those who come to Him in faith are never turned away. Those who come to Him in faith will never be turned away. You may be a Baptist. You may be a Catholic. You may be a Protestant. You may be a member of another religion. No matter who you are or where you are, you can just turn to the Creator. I'm not saying turn to a Baptist minister. I'm not saying turn to a Baptist doctrine. I'm not saying turn to evangelical leaders. I'm not saying turn to this leader or that leader. All I'm saying is the Bible is very clear, and we know it in our heart that God has created every one of us, and He has sustained us to this point. And all we have to do is lift up our eyes to God and say, "Thank you, God, for creating me. I don't understand you. I don't know where you are. I don't even know what the pastor is just saying now. I don't know what these preachers are talking about. I just know that there is an empty hole in my life, and that hole has to be filled with your holy presence." And He's there to respond to that. In Romans 10, and I'll conclude with this verse, two verses. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 13, we read that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This is not a lie. This is written for every human being. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Please remember that God is always available, and He is waiting for your response. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for being there, for being here all the time. There are some things that we don't understand. There are some things that are hard for us to believe. There are some things that we have struggled with. There are some problems in our family life. There may be some problems in our religious or spiritual walk and life. But for You, there are no problems. There are only solutions. And thank You, Lord, for being always available to help us. Thank You for speaking to us this morning. And Lord, I, as a messenger, ask You, please, if I have said something that was wrong and not according to Your will, please erase it from our minds. In Your blessed name, I pray, amen.